God's word for you is Zechariah 13, verse 1. On that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. To open a fountain in ancient times was not like turning on a faucet for one of our modern pressure-fed, poured concrete marvels of beauty and symmetry. It was a violent act with a pick or a shovel to listen for the gurgling rush of underground water and to attack the stones or soil above to force an opening so that the water would flow out, gushing forth to irrigate the soil and perhaps fill a pond or pool for the refreshment of people and animals. God opened one such fountain for Samson after he fought 50 Philistines in Judges 15:19. It began a continuous flow, not a momentary gush, but a permanent source of water, delight, and life. The ancient Israelites knew that the priests performed ceremonial washings, baptisms of heads, hands, and feet in the tabernacle. There was a large water tank known as the Bronze Basin or the Bronze Sea, and from it the priests could wash and draw water. Now there would be a new water source for a new kind of washing. This was not only for the priests, but for everyone, for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This new washing would be to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. Since these chapters of the prophet are all about the New Testament church, we could take this verse to be about baptism. After all, baptism is not just plain water, but with the word of God, it is a gracious water of life and a washing of rebirth by the Holy Spirit. But the devil has worked hard and laid a minefield around baptism among Christians, so that where a Lutheran or a Catholic would easily see a foreshadowing of baptism in the Old Testament, the Reformed churches do not, and they become enraged that we would dare to think of baptism as saving souls, or that we look to passages like Acts 22:16 that teaches us that baptism washes away sins, and Acts 2:38 that teaches us that baptism is for the forgiveness of your sins. But the devil sows his weeds everywhere, or as the German proverb goes, wherever God builds a church, the devil puts up a chapel nearby. So the Reformed miss out on some of the gospel that God gives, a little bit like a man whose neighbors all have hot and cold running water, but he only has cold, and he grumbles to himself that he can live without hot showers or baths. But God gives other fountains of water to us. The church adores Christ, calling him a garden fountain, a well of flowing water streaming down, Song of Solomon 4. And he responds, "To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." That's Revelation 21. Also, the Holy Spirit is a spring of water welling up in us to eternal life, according to John 4:14, and the gospel is described as a fountain that brings life and renewal. Joel says, "A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley." The gospel of the forgiveness of sins is God's gracious promise from the very beginning of the Scriptures. It was displayed already in the perfection and sinless state of the world before the fall, when God saw that everything, including the man and the woman he had created, were good, even very good in his eyes, Genesis 1:31, which means according to his perfect judgment. We will have this same perfection in paradise when he calls us home. And after the fall, he promised a savior from this sin, that when the Messiah would trample the devil underfoot and his power would be destroyed by the descendant of Eve, in Genesis 3:15, this Messiah would be similar to Moses, but also like a star rising from the family of Jacob, the one everyone would need to listen to with faith. Those things are in Numbers 24 and Deuteronomy 18. This Son of God, promised to the prophets, would have a true human nature according to his descent from the line of David as well as Eve in 2 Samuel 7 and 1 Chronicles 22. And he is depicted by the Holy Spirit throughout the Psalms that this Messiah would be both human and also God, Emmanuel, which means God with us, Isaiah 7. He would be sacrificed for the sins of the world on the cross. He said in Isaiah 43, "You burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses." And the prophet was shown what this meant. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Isaiah 53:5, which goes on to say, "And by his wounds we are healed." This sacrifice brought about our justification. "After the suffering of his soul, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities." Also Isaiah 53. This is also described by Jeremiah and Daniel. So death and hell are overcome by the death of the Messiah, who would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5. And through him our sins would be thrown into the depths of the sea, Micah 7. The Messiah, the desire of the nations, is our righteous Savior and the mediator of the New Testament, which brings healing in his wings, Malachi 4:2. Zechariah also says that he will cleanse us from sin and uncleanness. Here's a reminder that the sins Christ paid for include all of our actual sins, the things we do or fail to do that violate God's holy law, but also for our uncleanness, the original sin we're born with, inherited from Adam and Eve through our parents and passed down through us to our children. All sin is covered by Jesus' blood on the cross. All sin is atoned for. This is the summary of the gospel. In Jesus we are forgiven, and in Jesus we have the promise of everlasting life. What sin troubles you most just now? Something in your past? Something from today? Something that gnaws and grinds at your conscience so that you are kept from smiling or daring even to look to God to say you're sorry on account of your embarrassment and shame? It is forgiven by Jesus. Remember the words of the sacrament. The blessing we receive through the eating and drinking is shown us by the words "given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Through these words, Luther says in our catechism, through these words we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in the sacrament. For where there is forgiveness, there is also life and salvation. Be at peace. You are a forgiven child of God. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.